praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for all that you are, Jesus. We thank you that through you we've received a born-again spirit and we have become children of God. It's what separates us, Lord. We are your children. That's awesome, Father, that we are your children. We're impregnated, Father, with you, with your DNA. We are royalty, Father, and we thank you. We thank you that we are royalty. Aliens from another world, Father, here. Living holy as you are holy, Father. Thank you, Lord. You sent Jesus. If I believe in him, confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that I would be called your child. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you that I am your son. I give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Think about it now. You are a son of God. I was hearing a song the other day, and I don't get into music too much. I used to hear a little bit of Christian rap. I don't hear much Christian rap anymore. But I hear songs, and they're good songs to an extent. But they're subtle. There's a subtlety. And we're going to go into 1 John. I've been getting so much out of it, I just have to share it with you. Music. You hear songs that say, and it's amazing that Pastor said some of the things he said this morning. You hear songs about, and we'll cry. And we'll cry because they touch a place in our emotion where the song says, you are gold. You are a son of God. How he loves you so much. Things like that that shows God's love and who he is to me and you. And which is awesome. And it's awesome that I am loved by God regardless of where I'm at, whether I pray a little, pray a lot, devote my life to him partially. It's nice to know that I'm loved by God. And a person will usually get really emotional if their walk isn't where it needs to be with God, and they hear a song like that. And they'll be lifted up, and all of a sudden a courageous feeling will step up inside of them. Yes, I'm a child of God. I don't care who judges me. I'm a child of God. But that pattern goes on forever. You know, that emotion is there forever. You know, at the end of the day, when the trumpet sounds, my friends, we're not going to be judged by how much he loves us. That's settled. That's concrete. He can't love me anymore today than if I read 1 John 500 times. He can't love me anymore. So you hear people, I don't care who judges me. I'm this and that. Yes, because I'm God's child and he loves me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But we're not going to be judged by how much he loves us. Me and you collectively, the corporate body of Christ, we're going to be judged on how much we love him. So it's really an emotion. You know, you can be at the bottom of your walk with God and you'll hear that song and you'll get so motivated. You might even cry a little bit. You might even worship a little bit. But if that song didn't lead you into this, it was just that, an emotion. Think about it now. Every time I hear that song, it fires me up. Did that song lead you into this? Did that song lead you into a lifestyle of praying in the Spirit? Did that song lead you into a place of intimacy with Jesus Christ? If it didn't, it was just an emotion. We won't be judged on how much he loves us. He can't love me any more today than he can 10 years from now. I'll be judged on how much I love him. And according to the teachings of 1 John, what measures how much love I have for him is what? Is how much I walk in what? Love. When a person walks in love, he habitually walks according to what? His commandments that are within. habitually is what 1 John says. So I want to just share with you something. I mean, I've been feeling the teacher a lot lately at the house, and I had a business meeting the other day at work, and I felt the anointing. And I didn't even talk about Jesus. I felt so comfortable. You're supposed to say amen, Alex. You were there at the meeting. Okay, we're going to start all over again. I even felt the anointing last week in a business meeting. I felt the anointing when I was teaching it, going over my employees. Amen. Oh, thank you, Alex. We'll talk later. But I just, you know, I'm going to start going through 1 John with my kids. I'm going to just, you know, we do 15, 20 minutes. Try to do it 3-4 times a week. I've been a little lazy lately because I just usually eat and go to sleep. But it's been on my heart a lot because it is Christianity 101. I believe if we can come to terms and understand 1 John, you'll never be the same. But listen to this. Listen to this. Now what we're after is the love of God. What is the love of God? Who can love? Who can't love? Well, just anyway, listen to this real quick. It's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Yeah, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Now, I beg you to listen. This will help you so much. If you can grasp truly what love is, what it really means to love as a Christian, you'll never be the same. I mean, it's a process. Obviously, I'm still reading it after 20 years. Probably gone over it 1,000 times, and I still can't grasp it. But I feel myself getting closer and closer. I mean, I've got my days, and so do you. You've got your days, and so do I. But as long as we keep pressing into Him, we're going to ultimately walk in His will. Habitually. Now, bear with me here. Pay attention with all your heart, I beg you. It's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Now, He's talking like I've heard other preachers say. I've heard pastor did a series on grace, how it's taken advantage of, how one pastor said that 1 John was not written to believers. Well, don't take my word for it. Don't take Pastor Bronk's word for it. Let's take the word of God's word for it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, in these things we write to you that your joy may be full. 1 John is writing, these things I write to you, Renee and Alex, that your joy may be full. Does a sinner have joy inside of him? Does the sinner have the capacity to walk in God's joy? Who's got the capacity to walk and have the joy of God fulfilled in them? These things we write to you that your joy, body of Christ, may be full. This is what I'm writing to you, that something inside of you may be made complete. I'm not a genius, but 1 John is written to believers. It's cut and dry. 2 John is written to believers. John chapter 15 is written to believers. He says that your joy. 2 John says our joy. So He's talking to believers here. He's talking to me and you. And listen to what He says to me and you in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. In other words, if you're born again, if you said yes to Jesus, that qualifies you to be what? Born again. See, he who abides in Him, if you said yes to Jesus, that qualifies me and you to abide in Him. Because we believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. He said, he who abides in Him does not sin. Listen to that. He's talking to believers. He said, he who abides in Him does not sin. He who abides in Him does not sin. Or else, he who is born again does not sin. He who is born again does not sin. How many of you have sinned in the last year or so? Wait a minute, then. We're in trouble. The writer says, whoever is born again, abides in Him, does not sin. I rose my hand. You rose your hand. You sinned within the last year. I didn't want to say the last day. I didn't want anybody to raise their hand. So I gave us the benefit of the doubt. He says, whoever abides in Him, Ashton, whoever is born again, does not sin. I rose my hand. Pastor Bronk rose his hand. Renee raised both hands and his feet. So I know he's definitely sinning. For the record, guys, I'm just jiving. But the writer said that whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever is born of God does not sin. I rose my hand. My pastor rose his hand. And you rose your hand. What does that mean? Are we in trouble? No, we're not in trouble. Huh, you better be, when I ask a question, be careful how you answer it. Be real. Be careful how you answer. No, we're not in trouble. We're not. On the contrary, we're forgiven. He who abides in him, Alex, or he who's born again, does not sin. If you look it up in the Greek, it says he does not sin habitually. You can't sin habitually. Why? Because God's seed is inside of you. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Well, you got to understand the text here. He's talking to, there's three levels of believers. Little children, what's the other one? Young men and what? Fathers. There's three different levels of maturity in the church. Little children, young men, and fathers. Now, he almost the whole time in 1 John, he's talking to the first level of believers, which is little children. You know why he's talking to that level of believer that's maybe just converted in God or hasn't really matured to the status of a young man or fathers in God? Because they have the capacity to be what? Deceived. He says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever is born again, he does not habitually sin. We're going to fall short at times, but we're not going to habitually sin. Then he says, whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. But in context here, he's talking to little children about people that are coming to them with an antichrist type teaching. Isn't it funny to you that, and I'm not judging any religion, but I do feel the freedom to tell you the truth about it. Isn't it funny how we're contending for revival here, and right across the street is a Mormon church or whatever they call themselves? You know what that church is? The spirit of what? Antichrist. Their message opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, I might say some names of churches. The Jehovah's Witness right down the street, their message opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some Catholics oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, this, we're not talking about the Antichrist, the man they talk about in the book of Daniel. We're talking about those that come with a message other than Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what 1 John is making reference to. Listen here now. Whoever abides in him does not sin. If we're born again, me and you do not habitually sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Chapter 7, again, he's talking to the little children. Little children, let no one deceive you. Why did he say, little children, let no one deceive you? Because someone was coming to them with a doctrine that Jesus Christ either was not the Son of God or is not the Son of God, or that Jesus Christ was not the Savior of the world. He said, little children. He said, let no one deceive you. Let not these that have the spirit of Antichrist deceive you. You know, we're blessed. We're blessed because out of all the religions in the world, out of all the faiths in the world, our faith, not according to what I say, but according to the good book, our faith is the only one that involves an inward work. Our faith is the only faith in the world that me and you get to be pregnated. Now, a man and a woman, they bear a child by, I'm not going to go into detail, you're not dumb. The woman gets impregnated by the husband. I die. I have 4 or 5 kids. They're my children, my bloodline. I impregnated my wife. If I die, my wife remarries. No matter who she marries again, my kids that I left behind, I passed away early. I went to be with Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens. Those kids will always have my DNA. They will always have my blood. No matter what, they will always be my kids. Always. Always. Because I impregnated my wife. Now, me and you are impregnated with the Spirit of God. When we said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Lord and my Savior. In the natural, it took a physical act between me and my wife to produce offspring. It took a physical act for me to impregnate my wife. Our act is spiritual with the Father. Father, I believe that you are God. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Come into my heart, Jesus. Boom, instantaneously, I was impregnated with the seed of God. You with me? Are you with me on it? Instantaneously, I was impregnated in the Spirit. My DNA changed. Immediately, I said, Jesus, you are God. I got proof that something happens because I got saved 28 years ago. And immediately when I got saved, I woke up, beat on my wife's door, said, hey, I got saved. We slept in different rooms. She said, good, shut up and get out. I mean, I figured she'd be happy. I hated her, but she hated me. But almost instantaneously, when I gave my life to Jesus, there was a love, an automatic love that seemed to come back inside of me for my wife. I said, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. I was crying. I gave my life to Jesus. He said, good, get out. Well, a week later, she gave her life to God, and we finally became a family. With God, the Father. Let me go again. Hold on. I lost my train of thought there. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Who practices righteousness? Who? Come on now. If we don't habitually sin, then we habitually what? Practice what? Righteousness. You can't be born again and habitually walk in darkness. You can't. If you habitually walk in darkness, you're not born again. That's not my doctrine. That's not this church's doctrine. That's the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That put a stamp of approval on John's words. He said, little children, he's talking to, I don't know if he's talking to you or not, I don't know what level you are in God. He said, little children, let no one deceive you. Let not the spirit of Antichrist, let not the spirit of the Mormon church, let not the teachings of the Jehovah's Witness, let not the teachings of the Muslims. Don't let anybody teach. I don't know what in context, maybe he's talking about the Judaizers. I don't know. I'm sure he was. But let no one's teachings impact what happened to you the day you gave your life to God the Father through Jesus Christ. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. That spirit of Antichrist, the people that are bringing this teaching to you, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He said, don't let them deceive you. Listen to this now. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. What can a person that is not born again with the spirit of Antichrist, what can they add to my faith and your faith? What can they possibly add to it? What? Nothing. What separates me and you from society is there's a born again spirit that lives inside of us because we've been impregnated by God's seed because we said, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. Do you know why there's so many different churches and so many different denominations? Because Satan, believe it or not, he's a mastermind somehow. So he'll disguise religion somewhat into something that is a lie. What do you think Satan's after? What do you think he wants to stop in our life? What do you think if me being impregnated by God, if that happened, because I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. Immediately in the spirit, I was impregnated with a new spirit. I was born again. Satan knows that once I get born again, I can cause havoc on his kingdom because now I can keep the commandments of God. So what does Satan do? He knows that a born again believer, Holy Ghost filled, can be dangerous. So what's he do? You know what Satan wants in our life, first and foremost, before we get born again? Do you know what he wants to stop? An impregnation in the spirit. He doesn't want me and you to say yes to Jesus because although he's a mastermind somehow in things of darkness, he knows that what gives me and you, or what allows me and you to be called children of God, is an impregnation in the spirit where we are born again. If he can stop that, then he wins. That's why there's other religions that have a form of love, but not merely a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why I can name you a group right now, Christian group that has a gay leader. A gay leader. That's why there's so many different religions. So many different religions that aren't preaching the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. That's what Satan wants. If he can have preachers preach a little bit of God and not threaten anybody by words of convicting power, if any church can go along or any gathering of people can grow somewhat in numbers, Satan doesn't care much because they're not preaching the gospel that can get me and you impregnated. See, I can be a good person my whole life and not be impregnated by God and still go to hell. If Satan can stop the message of the cross, if he can stop the message that you must be born again, he'll let any so-called church grow because they're all going to hell if they've not received Jesus as Redeemer. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Satan wants our confession. He wants me and you to think there's other ways to know the Father in an intimate manner outside of Jesus Christ. That's why there's so much around us that isn't true. He doesn't care that they're there. He doesn't care. They're not impregnated by God, by the Holy Spirit. They don't have a born-again spirit. He wants that confession. He wants that belief in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He wants that. That's why John reiterates to the Christians at little children's status, because they can still be manipulated. They can still be, what am I looking for, Alex? They can still be deceived. Because you know what an antichrist is? He's a liar and a deceiver. If he's a liar and a deceiver, what's his doctrine? What's his teaching going to be? He's going to lie and he's going to deceive. He said, little children, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of this world, they can add nothing to you. The only person that can walk righteous before God is one that's born again. The only one that can walk in the love of God is one that's born again. The only one that can walk in his commandments is one that's, and the person that's born again has God's seed where? In their spirit. A person that's born again has God's seed in their. Antichrist doesn't preach the doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, doesn't preach that you must be born again. The spirit of Antichrist doesn't believe in the born again spirit. What could they possibly add to your faith, little child? If the only way that you can walk righteous is by being born again, he's not born again. How righteous can he walk? Why listen to his teachings? Little children, don't be deceived. Hold on. Go back to my verse here. Little children, let no one deceive you, spirit of Antichrist. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. In context, who is he talking to? He who sins is of the devil. The person with the spirit of what? Huh? The person with the spirit of Antichrist, he sins. He's of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God has manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He who sins is of the devil. The Antichrist that brings that doctrine that you don't have to be born again, that Jesus is not the Son of the living God, that's the spirit of Antichrist. He who sins is of the devil. Anybody with the spirit of Antichrist is a habitual sinner. They have to be, because they do not have that born again spirit living inside of them. He who sins is of the devil. The spirit of Antichrist is of the devil, because he is a habitual sinner, because he does not walk in the love of God. He can't walk in the love of God because he hasn't acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For this purpose, for what purpose? This purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed or his impregnation abides in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born or he has been impregnated by God the Father. He who sins is of the devil. Anybody with the spirit of Antichrist, anybody that opposes this message is of the devil because they habitually sin. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might, the Son of God, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How did the Son of God come? How did he manifest himself? How did he come to destroy the works of the devil? The answer is in the very next verse. He came to destroy the works of the devil by whosoever has been born. Whosoever has been born of God does not sin habitually. Why, John? Because his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born, listen to me, he has been impregnated by God the Father. I got 6 kids. 2 of them are not my biological kids, but my older daughter's not my biological daughter. Quinn's not my biological son. But don't sit here and tell me that you can't love somebody that's not yours the way that you love your own kids. I love my kids the same. All of them. My older daughter's not biologically mine, and neither is Quinn. They're not mine, but they're mine. Are you with me? I've had Quincy, he was 9 years old. I don't like the terminology adopted because I don't consider him adopted. He's my son. We look just alike. Just look at our hair. My older daughter is not mine, but she's mine. She gets her good looks from me, obviously. The point I'm making is that's my blood. If I died tomorrow, they would always be my blood. Some man might come a year later of mourning after I die. Thank you, Pastor. But Quentin and Elijah, they know what to do if I croak early. They know what to do. Right, boys? They know what to do. They're going to take care of business in Jesus' name. They know. But nothing will ever change that fact. They're my blood. If some man comes and sweeps my wife off her feet 20 years after I die, 20, 25 years after I die, he might be a good man. You better say, yeah. Hallelujah. They, oh, yeah, I will. Anyway. The point I'm making is no matter how awesome a godly man she may remarry, my kids will never be his blood. They'll be my blood. On the contrary, when I said yes to Jesus, that royalty, that heavenly bloodline is in me. His love, his word, his encouragement, his commandments. I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, come into my heart immediately. There was a deposit of his conviction in my spirit. That is such an under. What word am I looking for? I run out of English sometimes. That's so underestimated, that statement. Because the day that I got born again, I cried for 3 days. All the filth that I used to partake of, I threw it all away because the conviction of God, the seed of God, the pregnation of God came, and he indwelt me with his conviction, with his love, with his commandments. I now was a different creature from another world. The ways of this world were no longer in me. Something else was coming out of my spirit, which was the righteousness of God. I was born of God. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Come into my heart. Boom. His conviction came and made a deposit inside of me. Do you know why his conviction and his love and his commandments came and lived inside of me? You know why they live inside of me? Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why they live inside of me? Answer it, please. Not you, Pastor Bronk. Why did his conviction, his ways, the ways of the kingdom, why were they deposited in my spirit? Why? They were deposited inside of my spirit so that they could come out of my spirit and instruct me how to live according to the kingdom of God. That's what separates me and you from society. I'm not any better than a Mormon to God. We're loved the same. I'm not any better than any Jehovah's Witness to God. He loves us the same. But I can walk in the love of God because his love is in me. The spirit of Antichrist, they don't preach the love of God because they don't preach Jesus. They're a liar and deceiver. I'm telling you right now, if you've been born of God, you've been impregnated by God. And his ways, his convictions, his commandments, they live inside of you for a reason. Because if they live inside, they're going to come out and lead us as a compass in the way of righteousness. Homer, this is how I want you to live, son. Only one problem. Sometimes our soul, our flesh resists what's right. That's a whole nother teaching. But his conviction now, Mercedes, his conviction, Quentin, his conviction, Pastor, his conviction, Barbara, his ways, they're in us for a reason. To lead us and guide us into all righteousness. They're in so that they may come out and lead me and you. We have been, like my mentor says, we have been born again. Our Father is a king. We're not of this world. We are a different species. There's no strife. There's no anger or unforgiveness in the kingdom that we're from. His ways are in us. I've been impregnated by God. I do not. You know why he says you don't habitually sin? Because out of my spirit cries out righteousness, not unrighteousness. A person that habitually sins, quite the contrary. We don't habitually means to do it. What would be a good word in layman's terms? Consistently, yeah. A person that's born again does not consistently sin. On the contrary, a person that isn't born again, what? Consistently sins. Why? Because sin lives in them. And if sin is in them, sin's going to what? Come out. We're born again. Righteousness lives in us. And if righteousness lives in us, then righteousness is going to come out. That's why there should be a distinction between me and you and the world. Because righteousness lives inside of us. And if it's inside of us, it's been made to come out and to navigate and to teach me and you on which and how to live. That's why we don't habitually continue in sin, because the ways of darkness don't come out of our spirit anymore. We have been born again. We are called genuine 100% children of God. You're a child of God. When I give up my last breath, my brothers and sisters, I won't be judged on how much he loves me. I will be judged on how much I loved him. We have been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. We have been born again. To walk in love is to walk according to what you've been impregnated with. And I want to go on and teach you about the soul, about what wants to resist what's right, but that's something totally different. Right now, you got to know, if you are born again, you do not habitually sin. You can't. When you sin, it should bother you. If it doesn't bother you, either you're extremely weak in the faith, or you're just not born again. But you know what? I'm not your judgment. I don't know if you're born again. I'm glad I don't have to make that call. I send a lot of people to hell. I send a lot of people. Because being born again is, there's fruit behind it. When you say yes to God, there's a double whammy. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Boom. His commandments come and live inside of you. And if they come and live inside of you, they're going to come out. They're going to tell me and you and instruct me and you in the ways of righteousness. Because we used to be children of darkness, but now we're children of light. We used to be unrighteous, but now we've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is fundamental Christian 101 teaching, but you got to know it. You got to know that we live from within. Our kingdom is from within. It's within. It's internal. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. Because when we said yes to our Savior, boom, something came and lived inside of me, and that's what we live out of. That's why Satan, he'll let a church with a spirit of Antichrist give a slight form of godliness if he can just keep you from making that confession. Because if he can keep you from making the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he has stopped that impregnation. He stopped it. It's not going to happen. And if you die without Jesus Christ in your heart, it's over. He wins, my friends. Because he brought a doctrine that opposed truth. And if he can infiltrate every single organization in this world with that doctrine that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, boom, he wins. We live our life somewhat being good, not believing in Jesus, and still go to hell. Satan wants the confession. He wants that confession to not live in your heart and to not come out of your mouth. He wants that confession. If he can manipulate you through men that you don't have to be born again, he has won. And right now, my friends, he is doing a heck of a job. He's doing an outstanding job. How do you know you don't, that you're not manipulated, Homer? Because I pray in tongues, brothers and sisters. Plain and simple. I am a child of God, and so are you. Listen to this, and we're done. At Pastor Brown's request. Whoever has been born of God, impregnated by God, they don't habitually sin. For his seed, God's seed, abides in me. And I cannot sin because I have been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil, he's making a distinction like Pastor's been making every Sunday morning. I think everybody and their mother is enjoying the teachings on Sunday morning. There has to be a huge distinction between us and an unregenerate society. And there's not right now. I felt bad the other day, and Alex was there with me. I was bragging on one of my friends. They're making a comeback, and I was bragging. And it hurt me. It really did hurt me. I didn't make much noise about it. I'm not going to get into detail. And I was saying, this person, man, they're making a comeback. And somebody, if I don't know, for some God-unknown reason, they said, I'll show you how much they're making a comeback. I'll make a phone call, and I'll have them doing things that they're not supposed to do. I said, no, they won't. Not this time. Yeah, they will. I said, no, they won't. I'm going to end that. I'm going to end that then. That's the point, the preaching that Pastor Bronk's been trying to. There has to be a 100% separation from us in society. If not, they'll never want what we claim that we have. Only one thing separates that. He said, in this, the children of God, that's us, and the children of the devil, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Who doesn't practice righteousness according to what I'm teaching you? Who? The person with the spirit of what? He can't, right? Because he's not what? Born again, exactly. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And I can't love you in context to that teaching lest love lives inside of me. And that love is the seed of God, the impregnation of the Holy Spirit that came and lived inside of me and you when we said, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sin. immediately his conviction came and lived inside of me and you. And that is what we live out of, his instruction that lives in our heart. There has to be a distinction between us and society. I heard a 20-minute sermon last night by Donna Roberson. I got a ways to go, my friends, with my children, with myself. But I know how to get there. It's by spending time with Jesus. I got six kids I got to raise. My older daughter, I got six kids, five kids at home. I got athletic kids. But I got to teach them through, not by what I say, but through how I live, how to encounter Jesus Christ. That's my biggest purpose right now. I haven't told nobody. It's not even pastor. I usually tell them when I get things like this. When I was in Fort, I'm about done. When I was in Fort Lauderdale for 3 days worth of meetings, they really take us to top-notch restaurants. I mean, I don't know. The meal that I ate might have been about $250. I mean, I didn't pay for it because I wouldn't dare. That's a week's worth of groceries for my troops. But I went, and they were all there acting crazy. And I stood real firm in my conviction. I rode in a bus we all rode in a bus together. I sat by myself. You know, there were perverted jokes. I sat by myself, and I didn't laugh at their filth. And they said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing, man." "Why are you moving your lips?" I was praying in tongues the whole time, but I didn't answer it. Why did he go like this? I was in the bus in my own world, thinking about my wife and my kids. What's wrong? You too good to fit? No, man, I'm just chilling. And they were going crazy, and they spent a lot of money on us for 3 days. I mean, they were a 5-star hotel. I mean, the food was great. And I actually learned a lot about business in those meetings. I learned a lot, I really do. A lot of talking, but I learned a lot. But this, as we went by the beach at Fort Lauderdale on this bus, the waters were raging, man. They were almost scary somewhat. The waves were high. It looked like somewhere in Hawaii where you could go, what do you call it? Surfing. Let me tell you something. And I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I mean, not that there's nothing wrong with it as long as it's spirit-led. But when I looked at them waves, I mean, listen to me, I beg you. If you hear anything I say tonight other than walk in love, you got to listen to this. I looked at the waves. I looked from the bus to the right of me was a seawall. And I seen a bunch of ships out there, and the waves were vicious, man. Immediately in my spirit, there was an awareness of what was to come in the spirit. We've had tornadoes and 2 miles in width. I'm believing now. I got to ask Pastor a question about this, and I might wait till after I ask him. But I know we have authority in the Spirit over storms because Jesus did. But Pastor, I was so alarmed and almost scared for about 5 minutes at what was to come in the natural this year. I mean, an awareness and a fear for about 5 seconds. I said, "My God, is the Lord showing me about storms that are going to come, that are going to have an impact on this state of ours?" But there was an awareness for like 20 or 30 seconds. And then throughout the night, I had a dream about these storms. And I don't know. I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost. I don't know if it was or wasn't. But it was a different feeling that I felt that day about what was to come on this country of ours, or this state of ours. My focus right now is growing closer to him than I ever have, and raising up my children in the ways of God. And in that order, I put a lot of time in my kids and I spend time with them, sports, and I push them even when I'm tired from work. Let's go to the field, hit some balls. That okay, son, let's go. But I want to make sure my kids have a solid foundation in Jesus Christ, first and foremost. Because There are bad times coming, young people. They are coming. It is not going to get any better. So I invite you to partake of this holy bread, man. Partake of this holy bread. Deposit it in you. Because if you can't handle life right now, when true persecution comes, you're going to fall. You are going to fall. If you can't handle it now, things are easy, man. I can lift up the name of Jesus anytime I want to. I can hold this Bible handy. The day's going to come. The day's going to come where they're going to want to take this out of my hand. I'm sure of it, and I'm going to have to make a choice. And I'm going to have to make a choice. And so are you. I told my daughter the other day, and I'm done in 5 minutes for real, I swear. And I don't know if I jumped the gun. I said, baby, I know your heart is set at going to the Air Force Reserves, but you know what? The government's going to want our troops to do things to our own people that they're not going to want to do. I believe that with all my heart. Martial law? The government is going to want our troops to do things to their own citizens that they're not going to want to do. I believe that with all my heart. Am I trying to scare you? No. I'm trying to edify you and exhort you and comfort you in the peace and love, the saturation that this word can do to you if you choose him habitually. If you choose him habitually over the tiredness, if you choose him habitually over your family, if you choose him habitually over your job, you're going to do what's right habitually, because you're going to be deposited with perfection and something purer than the purest of gold. Coupled with praying in the Holy Spirit, coupled with worship, coupled with confession, coupled with if you incorporate that stuff, man, there will be a distinction between you and society. And I love what pastors preach, and how I had half of it right, that Jesus is our perfect prototype. And you know what? We are also to be the prototype here on earth. I love that. And I've gone through 1 Peter hundreds of times. Some of the stuff he's saying, I do get it, but I didn't get the main thrust of it. There has to be a distinction. People laugh at us, don't they, Alex? They mock us. Especially here at this church. When I was bragging about my friend, I mean, I was excited, Pastor. I was excited. I said, man, I'm so proud of this person. They're fighting. You were there, right? So proud of him. Huh. For some reason. And I couldn't believe what I heard. I said, no, that person won't. They won't give in again. They won't give in again. You want to bet? I said, yes, they will. I'll bet you dinner. Okay. They won't give in. What happened? I can't tell you the rest. That would be wrong. We're children of God. If we're ever going to make our mark in this world, it has to be in the Spirit. It has to be by lifestyle, not by words. Words are easy. You will always say, if I counsel Alex and I don't know him very well, and I know him well, he comes to me, I need counsel from you, Homer. He's going to tell me what he wants to tell me and make it sound right. Everybody will always make themselves look good with words. Everybody will. You could tell me a million things with your words. But I've learned you can't judge situation by words. You have to look at the fruit or the lack on the tree, the fruit or the lack of it on the tree. I'm in love with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thought you said you loved our church. I do. I ain't seen you in 6 months, but I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise, glory be to God. Doesn't add up. Like what Ashton said earlier, and I'm done for real. We're planning a trip. We're going over the United States. We're going to Jamaica. We're going to Disney. We're going everywhere as a youth group. Everywhere. No, I want to be back for Sunday. She said, why? She said, God, I don't want to miss church. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's fruit. I thought you said you didn't judge words. No, I judge her fruit. She's here all the time. Ah, how about that? I'm not judging her words. I'm judging her actions. Hallelujah. Christianity 101. What it means to be born again. And I love what Pastor said again this morning. And I need to learn more of it. If you fall once, I love you. You fall again, oh, I love you more. Fall again, I love you. Fall again, that I love you should never stop. I might love you with a kick to the chin or something, but come on, man, you know. But this is a hospital for the sick. It is. Don't let your best friends be those in the world. Because they'll burn you, won't they, Alex? They'll burn you. They'll burn you. Especially if you come to church sometimes and they'll burn you and they'll look at your eyeball and they'll burn you. They'll dispose all your secrets. Be careful. Be careful. Amen. Now, it's only be appropriate that we just worship. But well, I hope you got something in mind. And I ask you if you want to start this journey with me on, I'm going through 1 John through, I'm going through Revelation once, and I'm in Proverbs again. But I feel strong on stretching out 1 John for a few more weeks. So if you want to be up to par with me and understand what I'm preaching you, this took me years to break some of 1 John. My God, people say it's easy. No, it's not easy. Come with me on this journey in 1 John. Incorporate it if you feel led according to the Spirit to read it. Just say, Lord, is this the pasture where you would have me? Ask him. You'll know. Because I know where I'm supposed to be at. When I'm out of line, if I'm reading Genesis, I'll feel that little, oh boy, get back on track. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Father, Lord, where do you want me to dwell? What do you want me to read? You'll be surprised at the answer. And you'll know by that little comfortable feeling inside of you. We're children of God. He knows what we need. I don't need to know about the law if I can't stand you. I need to know about love. Because if I can't stand you, more than likely I'm under law big time. Let's start this journey, man. Let's separate ourselves from society. Amen. Renee, come on. Let's just worship God. Some almost done. You're doing good. So let's just give it all that we got this evening. Just give him some praise like you never have before. Hallelujah.